Well, good afternoon. It is a joy to be here. I'd like to sing a solo. Solo, you can't hear me. I don't have a voice like Brother Ken, but that is a good thing. It is good for you. But it is a joy to be with you here to celebrate Christmas time. And isn't this a festive time this afternoon? Isn't this a festive time with all the color and the drapery and the tablecloths and the coverings too? All these things remind us about the joy of Christmas. And today I want to speak to you about the Christmas season and about this time of year and the fulfillment of Christmas. I enjoy Christmas just as much as everyone does. Today we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Will you join me if you have a Bible this afternoon to the text here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to read this here for us today. I'm going to get right into our worship here with us. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Will you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for the gift of your word. I thank you for the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. In your word and in your presence here today, Father, we come to worship you. We come to hear you in your word. Lord, we also come to hear the fulfillment that you have given us, that you have promised us, the joy, that hope that you give us in Christmas, which is only in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, be glorified in this time of worship. In Christ's name I pray, amen. I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the festiveness. Do you? I enjoy the food. I enjoy the cards. I enjoy the gifts. I like gifts, by the way. I like it, the lights. I like everything about Christmas. And you know, I think that's important because we celebrate Christmas. But most importantly, Christmas is pointing us to something. You know, I say that because, you know, we live in a world today that we experience Christmas as just another season. We experience it, you know, sometimes if you watch television, you see the ads, you see the commercials, you see the Black Friday sales after Thanksgiving. And so I think what happens is sometimes as a society and sometimes in our own world, in our community, we get caught up into the festiveness of Christmas. And that's good. But Christmas is pointing us to something. And God fulfills Christmas only in a person, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so today I want us to see three things where God fulfills in Christmas and the purpose of his Son, Jesus Christ. My main text here today is verses 9, 10, and 11. And what I want us to see here is about these wise men who came to worship the King of the Jews. What do we really know about these wise men? Some people have called them the Magi. The text says that they came from the east. Some think that there was three men. Some say that there was three kings. We know that the text, the scripture says that they brought three gifts. So many people surmise that there was three men. We don't really know. There could have been 12 men. There could have been more. There could have been less. What is important for us to recognize is that the fulfillment of Christmas that we enjoy today is the fulfillment of the person of Jesus Christ. And we see that here in the visit of the Magi, of these wise men that came to worship Jesus. The men that came originally to Jerusalem to say, "Where is the King of the Jews? We have come to worship him." So these wise men come from the faraway lands of the East, and they travel. Scholars tell us that they probably traveled about a year to get here to this point. We know in Luke's gospel that the shepherds came and visited Jesus in the manger. But here in the beginning of the text, in Matthew's account, it says they came to him in a house. Well, it says here in the beginning of Matthew 2 is that it says later that these men came. And that Herod says that he wanted to also worship the child. So we know that there was a time had passed between Christ was born and when these wise men come to visit him. We understand here is that what's important for us today is that God continues to fulfill Christmas by leading us into a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, I invite you to look at the text here in verse 9, which says, after listening to the king, meaning these wise men, after listening to Herod, they went on their way, and it says, behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them. Earlier in verse 2, it says, the wise men said that we saw his star, not a star, not the star. The scripture says that we saw his star, the light of Christ. This is a supernatural star that God had made available, that he had made known to these men, these wise men. Why is that important for us? I want you to understand today is that we never find God. You'll hear people tell testimonies today, I found God, I've found the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the reality is that we don't find God. God reveals himself to us. God revealed himself to these wise men in a very special and unique way. These men were wise men. Some call them magi. Some said they were astrologers or Zoroastrians from the Far East. They were stargazers. God had come to them. He revealed themselves to them in a very special way, in a way that they knew. And God in his sovereignty and his mercy revealed himself, but he led them to the Christ child because only God can reveal himself. God fulfills his purpose in leading all of us to Jesus Christ. And I think what is so unique is that these men were looking for the King of the Jews. They were coming to worship him. They came from the far lands of the Far East. But these men were not Jews. So if they were not Jews, how did they know about Jesus? God had revealed himself to them through the star. They lived in these faraway lands, probably in the exiled lands of Babylonia from the remnants from the Jews that were there. They probably knew about the Messiah to come. The Messiah to come! This was the Old Testament hope and prophecy of the fulfillment for the people and the nation of Israel, for the Messiah to come. But what is truly ironic in this situation here, how God had led these magi, these wise men to him, to this supernatural star, to Bethlehem, is that just down the road in the town of Jerusalem were all those people looking for the Messiah when he was just a few miles down the road. And the text in the Gospel of John 1:11, it says, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. You know, God reveals himself to everyone to lead everyone to a relationship in Christ. And he led these magi. Let me ask you, this Christmas, where is God leading you? this Christmas, where is Christ leading you? Is he leading you to a relationship with him? As you notice, as we sing these songs of hope and joy, where is God leading you this Christmas? As you see the star on the Christmas tree, as you see the Christmas lights, as you see the nativity scenes and all these images and the color of red and from the shed blood of the cross of Christ and all these symbols and everything that we see and celebrate in the festiveness of Christmas, how is God speaking to you in your own life, in your heart? God is speaking. God is speaking to these wise men in a supernatural way because God is revealing himself. And God, even in this season of Christmas, is speaking to everyone, to those that would receive him and even to unbelievers that would not receive him. Why? Because of his deep mercy and abiding love for all of us to come to a relationship to him through his son Jesus. He does that here with these magi, these unbelievers here. He led these men. God is a God who leads. He led the Israelites when the Israelites groaned and they complained and they were in slavery in Egypt. And God led them out of Egypt. He led Moses to lead them through the Red Sea. And he brought them into the wilderness for 40 years. Those 40 years, God did not stop leading the nation of Israel. And in Exodus 13, 21, the scripture says that God led them by a pillar of cloud during the day, and he led them by a pillar of fire by night. When God moved, they moved. When God was still, they remained still. But all the time, God led. And God continues to lead all of us today. He led the wise men. Folks, today in this Christmas season, where is God leading you? His desire for all of us. And these magi being led by God through this supernatural star, the scripture says that it was his star. We see that God fulfills joy in the person in Jesus Christ. The text says here, verse 11 in Matthew 2, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They saw and they experienced great joy. In verse 11, and going into the house, they rejoiced. Why were they rejoicing before they even went into the house? They had traveled for a year. These were men of means. These were men of power. These were men of wealth and of influence. They had traveled for a year. They didn't even have to work for a year. They were just on a sabbatical leaving, following the star to find the Christ child, the son, the king of the Jews. These were men of power. And, you know, when you're a person of wealth, when you're a person of great influence and of power, it takes a lot to bring you joy, doesn't it? In other words, you've experienced a lot in your life. But these men, these wise men, can you imagine being referred into the Bible as a wise man? It must say something quite a bit about you. These were wise men because they followed the lead of God to Christ. And here the text says, they rejoiced. They experienced the joy of Christ. And not only did they rejoice, but the scripture says that they rejoiced exceedingly. Their joy was overwhelming. And you know, for an ancient Middle Eastern civilization, wouldn't have been common, especially for men of power and rulers and of wealth, to really just express openly joy. You would have carried yourself with distinction and with honor. And these men were just losing it with joy exceedingly because where they had come, where God had led them, and where they had followed God's lead, they experienced the joy of Christ. and they experienced it exceedingly. And the scripture says not only that, but they experienced great joy. My friends, I want to tell you something. There is no joy in this world, in your life, that can bring you greater joy than that of Jesus Christ. There is no joy in your life that can be fulfilled in a career. Why? Because men and women try to do that every day. And we see in the news how they find that their hopes and their dreams are fleeting because their joy was in a false hope. But there is joy in Christ. And here, these wise men come being led by Christ. Their lead was not in vain. This time that they had traveled. Folks, in your life today, perhaps in the day-to-day life that you experience, maybe in the Monday of getting up every day, not knowing if it's a Monday or knowing if it's a Tuesday, of repetition of day after day after day, and your life is not in vain when you are in Christ. Day after day of your life of getting up, doing the same things, going the same places, meeting the same people, you will not experience the joy of those things, but you will only experience the joy that God brings in Jesus Christ. And that's what He brought here to these wise men who follow God's lead. God's love was fulfilled and His purpose for them in leading these wise men to Jesus Christ. God continues to fulfill His purpose in leading us to Christ. He continues to fulfill His purpose for all of us in the person of Jesus Christ. And God continues to fulfill hope for all of us in awesome wonder and worship in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at the scripture again with me, if you will. In verse 12, the scripture says, "Then opening their treasures, they offered Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Well, what's a little baby boy going to do with gold and frankincense and myrrh? It seems kind of odd, doesn't it? I mean, if you gave this to a little baby, he wouldn't know what gold is. He wouldn't know what the incense, the frankincense is, and the myrrh. You see, this part here in the text is very practical, and it is also very symbolic. Well, we also read here in the continuation here in Matthew 2 is that Herod's ultimate plan was not to worship the Christ child. His ultimate purpose was to destroy the child. And so later, when Joseph was awakened in a dream by an angel, he told him to take the Christ child to Egypt to flee because Herod wanted to destroy him. Well, Joseph and Mary were going to go on a road trip. They were going to go for a vacation. Well, they're going to need some funds. God knew that. He provided that for them in gold and frankincense and myrrh. This was for them, if you will, a form of traveler's checks. Have any of you ever gone on a trip before? And remember, we used to, before credit cards, we'd take traveler's checks and you would sign them over. It was good as cash. It was a source of commerce. It was a source of commodity. Frankincense, gold, and myrrh here are a source of commodity for Joseph and Mary for their trip. But it is also very symbolic. These wise men come before the Christ child and they offer these gifts of gold. In ancient civilizations, it was very customary for people to present rulers or kings with gold. When the Queen of Sheba came to King Solomon, she gave him over 7.5 tons of gold just to hear his wisdom. And so often we see that gold is a symbolic way of bringing homage, of worship to a king. These wise men bring to the King of Kings, not just the King of Jews. They bring Him frankincense, which was often used in worship to God, and myrrh, which was an anointing spice, which would also be used for burial as well. And so we see this symbolism, we see this practicality of bringing gifts to the Christ child of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But they brought their gifts to him to worship him. And the text says, you know, when they would come and bring their gold and gifts to a king, in this civilization, it would be very customary to bow before the king, to show respect, and to pay homage to the king. But the scripture doesn't say they bowed. The scripture says that they fell down. These wise men, these powerful men, these rulers, they got low, they got flat on the ground. You know, oftentimes in the Bible, when people experienced the presence of God, they got flat, they got prostrate, they got on the ground, they fell down because they were before the presence of Almighty God. These men come before the Christ child and they fell down because in this presence, they were in the presence of Almighty God, the Son of God. God fulfills Christmas for all of us in the purpose of not only leading us to Him and giving us joy, but also in giving us hope that Christmas is about the person in Jesus Christ. These wise men's hope was not in the festivity. Just like Christmas today, we often think about, we get excited about Christmas. The kids are getting excited about Christmas. The grandchildren are getting excited about Christmas. I'm looking forward to those days. I don't have grandchildren yet, but I just want you to know, we've made it known to our daughter that we're ready for grandchildren, okay? And we look forward to the days of giving her gifts at Christmas. But what's happening here is that God is fulfilling His purpose and continually pointing to all of us to His Son, Jesus Christ, even in the Christmas season. These wise men fell down in ultimate, flat out, sold out, 100% given everything they had worship to Jesus Christ because God had provided hope for them. And God had fulfilled hope, He had fulfilled joy, and He had fulfilled a relationship in leading these men to Jesus Christ. You know, I think that's important. Because in Christmas time, as I mentioned, we get caught up in the festivities. And I want all of us today to, when we see these festivities, when we enjoy the food, when we enjoy the punch and the drinks and the cards and the decorations, ask yourself, where is God leading you? Look, each of you, into your own heart in Christmas, where God is leading you. You know, if our greatest need in our world today, by the way, when you turn on the TV, do you feel reluctant to even watch the news today? Do you feel reluctant to even read the newspaper? You know, if it weren't for bad news, it seems there wouldn't be any news at all. You know, I know some men, they just go right to the sports section because they don't want to read the news. It is almost as if we've lost hope. Folks, we haven't lost hope because 2,000 years ago, we've been given hope in the Son, Jesus Christ. You see, I say that because if our greatest need, if we look in the world today, if you turn on that TV, if you read that newspaper, and you read the lament of the world's affairs today, and what happens is that we feel that there's a failure, there's a loss of hope in this world. Folks, I want you to understand, if our greatest need in this world today was for education, God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need today was for technology, He would have given us a scientist. If our greatest need today was for money, He would have given us an economist. If our greatest need today was pleasure, He would have given us an entertainer. But instead, He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, because our greatest need is forgiveness and a right relationship with Him. That's what He brought these wise men to. That's what God brings all of us today. There was a woman who had been in this country for 14 years. She was an immigrant from Peru. And a friend of hers told her she wanted to invite her to an event at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, in December of 2014, the Billy Graham Library each year has a special Christmas event that gives the gospel story, and they open it up. And in that month of December 2014, they had received 40,000 visitors in the month of December alone. Well, this woman who was a volunteer there, she invited her neighbor, who was an immigrant from Peru, to bring her four children. And so this immigrant woman had heard about it, and she thought it might be a good idea and might be fun. So the volunteer was working one night, and she was summoned to the prayer room. And she came to the prayer room, and she saw her friend that she invited. Her friend, this woman from Peru, who brought her four children, had gone through the library of Christmas, and she had received the Christmas story about the Christ child and the hope that we have in Christ. And she was crying. And so her friend, the volunteer, was interpreting in Spanish. And what was happening was is that this woman, this immigrant, who hadn't been to church in 14 years, had finally come to a relationship in Christ right there in that Billy Graham library. And the volunteer noticed that another boy was being witnessed to and that he was giving his life to his Christ. And before the evening was over, after they all had prayed, this woman and her four children all came to faith in Christ. But they came to Christ because God had led them, God had fulfilled joy, and God had brought her hope. In Christmas and the Christmas time, through the Christmas story, that's what Christmas is all about. That is God's desire for all of us. Where is God leading you this Christmas? Maybe you don't have gold and frankincense and myrrh to give. Will you give Him your heart? Will you give Him yourself to the person of Jesus Christ? I want to end today with just one more true story account, and I'm going to close with this. Many of you are familiar with World War II. You understand that there was men over there that from the Allies that were captured that were prisoners of war. There's a true story about these prisoners of war that were in a special POW camp, and the Germans had occupied this. They were guarding these men here, these prisoners of war, and this was towards the end of the war. And some of the men had a radio that they had hidden, but they didn't tell the guards because obviously the guards would have discovered it and they would have confiscated it. And these men had gotten the news that the German high command had surrendered, that the war was over. And when they heard the news in this barracks, there was this roar that erupted from the barracks that the war was over. And then suddenly these men, for their lives, had changed dramatically. They were smiling at the guards. They were laughing at the guard dogs. Everything about them and their countenance had changed because they knew that they were going to be free. 3 days later, the guards had discovered that, and through the darkness of night, the guards escaped and left the doors and the gates unlocked. And the following morning, those prisoners of war walked outside the gates for the first time as free men. You see, freedom for all of us already happened 2,000 years ago, but for many people, they choose not to walk outside the gates. In other words, God leads us to a relationship with Him through His Son, but we have to make those steps to come to Him too, to achieve that ultimate true freedom that we have in salvation in Christ. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I thank You for the gift of Your Word. Lord, I thank You for the gift of Your Son and the message that You have brought to us today. How You always and continually, through Your mercy and grace, lead us to a relationship with You through Your Son, Jesus, that we might receive joy, but Father, that we may receive hope and the ultimate salvation that comes only through Your Son, Jesus. Lord, in this Christmas season, speak to our hearts. Speak to us, Father, where You want to lead us to You. Whether it's a relationship through Your Son, or a relationship in service, or renew in our relationship to You, Father. Continue to speak to us in this Christmas season that we might continue to rejoice, we might continue to have hope, and continue to give You all the honor and glory. For it is in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.